Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. You must listen to the open loops, a theme park for absurd beliefs and systems of integration between the mind and the creative spirit. Open loops.
Your unconscious mind is now turned on, tuned in, and dropping down into relaxation. It's time now for your favorite late night talk show for the Shamelessly Fringe. It's Open Loops with Greg Bornstein. Conversations that bend. What's going on, everybody? Hello, hello, welcome. Greg Bornstein here, host of Open Loops, with said Greg Bornstein. Conversations that bend. I am your chief looper, consciousness disruptor, curator of experience, and of course, the cultural hypnotist. Yes, you are listening to a show that is designed to challenge your existing belief systems by sharing radically unique ideas designed to stimulate your unconscious mind and allow you to step into the highest version of yourself. Now, how do we do this? Well, by talking about the themes that take us away from it all, the mystical, the magical, the hypnotic, the supernatural, the spiritual, the esoteric, the abstract, the intellectually escapist, the escapist intellectual, glamour, glitz, Hollywood, anything designed to put your imagination and your mind into full ramped up stimulation so that your waking reality is merely one small trance among a gallery of the infinite possibilities. And of course, we're always asking ourselves on this show the deepest questions of them all, who and what we really are. Now, again, here's a great hypnotic principle. If you want to get people to just pay attention to you, you say, now. That just gets them, boom, right focused into the present. Hypnotists use this all the time. Very smart. Okay. Now. Crap. I'm not even aware of it. But as you listen to my voice, just know what I'm getting all trancy with you today. Maybe it's because this guest, Evina Johnson, definitely took me into a realm of other worlds. She, of course, is the heretic speaker, an African spiritualist, practitioner, chaos magician, had a background in Wicca, was briefly involved with a cult, now teaches a lot of complex. This is her tagline. You'll love this. She helps make, wait, let me get this 100% right. I thought I could do it from memory, but now I definitely can't. Ahem. My guest today, Evina Johnson, helps beginner ritualists understand complex spiritual traditions. That's her trademark phrase. Sounds like some sort of, I don't know. Of course, you could take it the learning annex about Microsoft Word, except for Santeria and seances. It's a good tagline, in other words. It's commercial enough, but the topics, and she is a devotee of Isheshe, Kali, these very interesting African traditional religions, but she practices it all. She does tarot, she does, she helps you waken up your psychic gifts, and she's from Atlanta, Georgia. She has a very unique background. I was fascinated by Ivina's story and her very, very much highly hot. The heat burned from her takes. Yes, ready to put your fingers on the stove like I did when I was 3 and a half. It'll be great, because everything you believe about spirituality and magic, Ivina has a very unique take on. And, it burns so good. Now, of course, the other thing I'm going to say to you all is that there is this event coming on next week, December 21st, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time, the Summer Solstice. The link is in the show notes, or you can watch on the Open Loops YouTube channel. We're going to wake up the planet. That's the goal, through conscious prayer. Does it work? Is any of this real? Can we raise the Schumann resonance? What is the Schumann resonance? Well, go to the website in the show notes link. OurAlienAncestry.com has all the information about the Summer Solstice event. Let's do it. At the very least, it'll be an opportunity to do group meditation. And I have to tell you, being an actor, being someone that was in classes where the exercise was as a group, I mean, think about what theater is. It's a group of five people coming together to tell a story. When you're with a group of people doing a conscious practice, a dance piece even, stuff changes. That's what's cool. So we're going to do it worldwide. Meditate, wake up the planet, summer solstice. I want you to tell me what happened. And as a matter of fact, in general, I want you to stay in contact with me. Make sure to stay in touch. Write something to me. I'm at the Greg Bornstein on Instagram. And make sure that you follow this show, especially on Apple Podcasts, so you don't miss anything, as well as if you enjoy this. As Mariah Carey once said, all I want for Christmas is your validation. So make sure to rate the show on Apple Podcasts and leave a review. Even a few words greatly helps get this content out there. Out there. I love it. That's where the show lives. It's always out there. That's what my mom always says. Oh, what's your son's podcast about? It's very out there. Thanks, Mom. You nailed it. And now, I bring to you someone very fun, a very entertaining guest. I was highly entertained by the host of the Me Middleton podcast show, Ivina Johnson. Coming to you from the Atlanta area, today on Open Loops, we have Ivina Johnson. She is a practitioner of, all things magical. We're talking someone who is very well-versed in African spiritual practices, neo-spiritualism, tarot, all different sorts of intuitive consultation. She does all forms of spiritual things. She also helps beginner ritualists understand complex spiritual traditions. And she is the host of the Me Middleton Show, We're gonna learn all about it. We're gonna delve into a whole nother world of occult and magical practices. Evina, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Greg.
Yes, I am excited to have you. Now, look, from my understanding, you've been doing this for a while, haven't you? Have you been a magical practitioner and publicly doing this for many years? When did you bring this side of yourself out to the world?
I brought this side of myself out into the world actually 2014, but I've been doing this for a very long time.
What do you mean by that? Even as a little girl or?
Yes, sir. I've been seeing things and intuitively doing things, although I came from a Christian background. There were things that I wasn't supposed to be doing. I have altars and lighting candles, although they do the same thing at church. And got us blowing out birthday candles on birthday cake, having wax all on the food.
Right.
But there were certain things. I would see spirits. I would see other entities as a child and had no one to talk to about that. So I had to struggle and learn through these things on my own. But yeah, I've been doing this since I was a child, but really delved into it in the late 1990s and
wow.
Publicly since 2014.
Interesting. Now, I want to know, I mean, I'm always curious about the wild years of this stuff in terms of the childhood stuff. What kind of mischief were you up to? Because I feel that before you really understand this, that leaves more room open for absolutely strange and bizarre things to happen. What is one of your earliest memories of something that totally defied logic and explanation and maybe even got you in trouble?
Well, I could say I never got in trouble. I was a good girl. You ain't finna
talk
to me for being a bad person. Mm-mm. However, the strange stuff that I've seen, well, I remember seeing a skeleton in the closet, a literal skeleton in the closet when I was probably about 3-4 years old. I saw a skeleton in the closet. They would have conversations with me. And when I tried to tell my parents, they thought I was going crazy. And they would chant things like, "Girl, go on somewhere in your room. You see grown folks in here talking, quit talking that mess." So no one was listening to me. Yeah. Now, as an older person, when I got into maybe my teens, early 20s, as I'm walking through downtown Atlanta and the parts of Atlanta, what we call the West End, I would, like, I'm looking at your face now. As I'm walking down the street, I'm looking at people's face. I see a normal person's face and then poof, something comes out and it looks alien or it looks demonic or I don't know what I was looking at. But imagine me walking down the street doing this number. Do, 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 do. Oh my God. Okay, stop. Oh, Jesus. Somebody help me. So I'm always jumping because I'm seeing these things happening. So those are some strange and bizarre things that led me to investigate what is going on in my life.
Wow. Now, were you with people in those teen years too? I mean, did people, I wonder if people really tried to get you committed. Did they try to put you in? Did you go see a doctor? I mean, what kind of reaction did people have and what did they try to do with you?
Well, no one, my friends who I hung out with, they just thought I was just crazy. Oh, there she go being crazy again. And they call me Mimi. Mimi is a childhood nickname, which is the root of the Me Middleton show. That's my part of my name. But they would look at me like, okay, Mimi just gone crazy again. Ignore, she'll be okay. So as in everything else in my community, whether if it was mental illness or behavioral disabilities, back in my day, those things weren't known. They weren't broad. It wasn't things that would bring attention and be like, oh, we need to have her seen. They were just like, oh, that's just her, and left me alone.
Interesting. Yeah, so you're dealing with these strange otherworldly entities that you're seeing, and I mean, let's figure this out in terms of at what point did you decide to actually investigate these things so that you could be someone that now teaches the spiritual tradition? I mean, as someone that's in Christianity, I would even think, Ivina, that there is a lot of in their different sects of Christianity, but I remember when Harry Potter came out, the church was wildly protesting the Harry Potter books, or certain segments of it, because it totally goes against the Bible. So, I mean, I in terms of your studies, I'm wondering, did you even feel like you had the freedom to start investigating this stuff? I mean, how did you really start digging in here?
So I'm left alone by myself a lot. I was a loner and I was a sheltered child. The what made me investigate, don't laugh at me, don't judge me, the TV show Charmed.
Oh, that's legit, though. That's
That's
legit.
so while everybody's too busy worrying about Harry Potter, which honestly, I think I've seen probably one movie. I was not a Potter
Yeah,
person.
I've never read the books. I've started the
Was
first
never
one.
into
I've
them.
never read them. Never. Yeah.
So yeah, I was never into. I was like, oh, okay, that's cute. But
Yeah.
Charmed, superhero, badass women, kicking
Yeah.
butt, slaying spirits, and whipping up spells, and throwing potions, and vanquishing demons. What? That was all me. So
No.
that's what began, because I knew it was something truth. I know how Hollywood is. All of this, TV, imagination and fake stuff going on in television. I understood that. But it was something that was saying there's something truth about this. That's what began my investigation.
Wow. Now, wait a minute. Do you think after all these years that the people that wrote Charmed did know something?
Oh, there were people who were practitioners that wrote Charmed, the writers of Charmed. They if it wasn't directly the writers, which I know that they were surrounded by people who were practitioners.
Wow. Now, wait a minute. You just mentioned that you were also bad. You knew battling demons and fighting them. Does that mean there was a period of time where you actually were engaging with these entities in a way you were like, hey, get out of here?
I mean, yeah.
What? Tell me more about
Oh
that.
yeah, that's okay. So, there are entities that I don't like the word demons personally. I just call them low vibrational entities because
Yeah.
they're not in the flesh, but they up to some no good. And I've actually summoned one, and I've actually vanquished a couple of them. I mean, you finna get out of my house. You ain't gotta go home, but you finna get the hell up out of here. So.
Why did you summon one? What was that decision? Were you just bored one day? I mean, why did
No,
you?
I because of my particular path, me wanting to know everything there is, I didn't want to be afraid of anything. So I've studied things from A to Z, from African tradition all the way down to Wicca. That includes Luciferianism. That includes everything of the left-hand path. So I just reading about it wasn't enough. I wanted to get into it and see practical application and see what that life was about.
Yeah. And what did that, I mean, I'm scared to find out, but let's do it. How did it manifest, this demon? What did you see? What did you feel? What was it?
Well, actually, I talked about this in one of my podcasts, how I summoned the demon Prince Seer. And
Oh.
I don't want to really be a spoiler alert for the show, but let's just say, how much profanity do you allow in your podcast?
You can say it. Say whatever you want. Go ahead.
It scared the shit out of me. I'm like, oh, fuck. I was thrilled because of what I saw in the sky. And I don't want to
In
spoil
the
the episode.
sky. You saw something in the sky. No,
I
wait, I
sure
mean, we're gonna link to the podcast so everybody can listen to the show. But that is, my gosh, what? Did
I
other
was
people see
scared.
this, or was it just you?
I was the only one in the room. No one is
Yeah.
going to believe me, and I'm quite sure of it. I don't believe me. How about that?
Wow, I love that. I love
But
that.
I know
Yeah.
what I saw, and I can't unsee what I saw.
Holy crap. Is that the
So,
scariest thing you've ever seen, or have you seen worse?
is that the scariest thing? I want to say, yeah. by far the scariest. I thought seeing those faces popping out of people's faces was the scariest, but this here was another whole level.
So for the casual listener that is thinking of summoning demons, what's your advice?
My advice is get trained. If you're that silly enough to want to do something like that, you need to have you a person who is trained, know what they're doing, check their track record, ask around, find out, you know, get reviews. I'm so serious. Don't just listen to any old random Joe to say, oh, I have a coven or I have a organization and we're the dark something because we sound so cool organization and we're going to summon demons. Don't do that. If you like your life, don't do that.
Oh my gosh. If you like your life. Yeah, that's, I mean, this is the thing that's interesting about this, Evina. We are talking about things from the other world here. It's matters of life and death. And there isn't a lot of, I mean, yeah, sure, we talk, there are people that are ghost hunters and exorcists. But I imagine if you are a magical practitioner, there are dangers to this. And everybody goes for the magic, but not a lot of people go into the dangerous side of it. Why? I mean, are we just, do people just die too quickly for them to ever hear their stories? In your research, did you find of any, I mean, what are some of the famous stories maybe that you've even encountered of people that accidentally summoned the demon and then it was over for them? Do you know anything offhand?
Well, I don't want to say demon, but they're getting into stuff they ain't got no business. As a practitioner of many years of doing this, I'm quick to tell you, find Jesus. Find Jesus. Because if this is not true, if you're not disciplined enough, if you're not, if your cup isn't empty enough to be taught and trained to listen to wise words, and you just all willy-nilly just wanted to, ooh, I found this book, or I found this online, and I want to practice this. There was a story of a young lady who thought it was a good idea to summon Elegba, who is the entity of the crossroads in voodoo, is also associated with the Ifa Orisha Eshu. She thought it was a good idea to summon them. Don't know what she was doing, why she did. Oh. What happened in between that? I don't know. But I'm sure nobody trained her. I'm sure nobody sat there and taught her the correct way of what to do. Because when you approach some of these entities are like divas, okay? Like, how dare you think of yourself worthy enough or privileged enough to even summon me? You think I'm just sitting around in the sky, just twiddling my thumbs, waiting for you to call me and let me be on do-boy duty or do-girl duty just to get you some money or sex or whatever? I'm a great spirit who's been around here for centuries, and you think I'm just twiddling my thumb waiting to serve you? Try me again. So some people don't know that there's certain ways you have to approach each individual entity depending on who you're summoning. And if you come disrespectfully, it's like going to royalty. Some royalty is such a diva that they expect you to bow a certain way or, you know, present yourself in front of them a certain way. And if you don't meet their standards, I'm off with your head, metaphorically speaking, or literally.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I'm loving this. This is fascinating so far. So, okay, so you're starting to study stuff. You're picking up books. You're investigating everything there is to investigate about Charmed. Do you find yourself, Evina, in any particular school of thought that resonates with you more than others? You know, is there a period of time where you go, you know what, it's all about the hermetic stuff, it's all about Western hermeticism, I'm going to stick with that? Or do you go to more of this African spiritual perspective, voodoo, anything? Is it, how do you, I'm curious about the phases you may have gone through in your exploration.
So my marijuana of choice was Wicca, the gateway drug, right?
Right.
And just FYI, marijuana does not open up no gateway to nothing, just FYI. But anyways.
I do want to ask about marijuana and spirituality because I'm curious what your thoughts are. But
but my marijuana was Wicca. And that's what introduced me to other paths and other spiritual pantheons. And I loved Wicca, but it gave me the basis of what most traditions utilize: colors, candles and, you know, other different divination tools. You know, basically a lot of the same thing, but so much, you know, differences between the two. So, I mean, between each of them. So I went from there, and then I did an episode about this. It's called White Folks and African Traditions and Black Folks and European Traditions. And
Interesting.
what I'm illustrating is, you know, a lot of people, being a woman of color, being an African American, and I hate that term, by the way, but being an African American in the South, mind you,
Right.
Southern Baptist person, you know, people are, you know, real quick to look at you, look at me and be like, you know, you're a black woman, so you know, Ungawa black power, you're supposed to be in voodoo, you're supposed to practice this African tradition, this,
Right.
and it didn't resonate with me. And screw you, hippie, I'm going to whoever that feel best with. So I felt really good. I can't say at home,
I'm
but
just
I felt
imagining
really
the hippies
good.
of Georgia right now. By the way, that's a funny idea.
Oh,
Like Georgian hippies.
that's a thing. You need to come down and see and take and bring your camera now, not just your phone. Bring your phone and your camera, I promise you.
Oh my gosh. So sorry, keep going. So it didn't resonate with you. And so but Wicca did for some reason.
Wicca resonated, but it wasn't home for me. But I loved Wicca, and it taught me a lot, and it saved my life. There was points of times in my life where I was homeless, and utilizing Wicca got me out of homelessness.
Really?
Homeless with a child, mind you. I'm a grandmother these days now, but back in
Wow.
those days, yeah, they saved my life, me and my son. So I went, because I'm listening to everybody else, I decided to look into African-oriented traditions like voodoo and Vodun.
Right,
And I'm
right.
like, I love it. It's awesome. I really love the tradition. It just ain't Evina. And
Right.
I looked into hoodoo. I was a little more connected in hoodoo, but it's still, oh, my journey and trying to find what is home, right? So then I went, a
Did it
couple
just
other
not feel
traditions.
right, or were there specific things about those traditions that you said, "Oh no, I just don't like this piece of it"?
What it came down to, chaos magic is my thing. It's an amalgamation of like everybody, because what chaos magic is, for those who don't
Yeah,
know, is
please.
utilizing different formulas or different symbols or different elements of various relatable or agreeable magical paths towards your magical workings, whatever that you're trying to manifest. So you might use, I might, for me, I might use astrology symbols. I might use a Jupiter symbol that symbolizes gelidity, expansion, money, justice, and using a blue candle, and then calling upon an entity. Let's say I'm trying to get some money, and I use the entity that deals with money, maybe Olokun, which is the African out of the African tradition of Ifa. He is the deep water entity. He also orients to money. Or I might use Oya, who's also an Orisha. She's the deity of the marketplace. Or I might use real not oh, real money, or the fake money, or the confetti that you get at Party City. They got the dollar signs. I'll use
Right.
those things. I see how I'm using different elements for the
Yeah.
purpose of one little spell, trying to get some money. That's chaos magic.
Interesting. I've been told before, I had this guy, Ed the Pagan, on, Ed Hubbard, who's a really nice guy, really great guy, has been in radio broadcasting for a while and started this online witch school. And I said, what do you think? Could I be a witch? Could I be a wizard? And he said, I think you should look into chaos magic, Greg. I think that would be your thing. So I've always been curious about it. I mean, I definitely think words are a big piece of the kind of magic I do. There is that piece, but yeah, I've never fully understood, because I to me it's either you're grabbing bits of pieces from everything and doing what you described, or it's very ritualistic. You put the candles down, you say these prayers, da 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 da, and I don't really know the other forms of it.
Yeah, this is it's quite like ceremonial Aleister Crowley type,
yes,
you know, kind of thing with the robes and the whole shebang.
Did you ever do any of that?
One time. It was fun, actually.
Really?
I was with a group of other witches. Yeah, it was kind of fun.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. But chaos magic was the one that stuck for you.
That's the one that stuck for me. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I even use Christianity. Believe it or not, a lot of people don't understand Christianity. They got some magic up in there. The Book of Psalms and then but a Book of Spells.
Well, I was going to ask, when you said Jesus, how literal were you being? Were you just, do you believe in Jesus Christ as a Messiah? Would you call yourself a Christian at all?
I would not call myself a Christian at all because there's nothing in the world that somebody can tell me that what people have brought to Africans, telling us that their God can save us when what they did to our people in slavery. I'm sorry, I ain't gonna be able to accept it. I don't know how.
No, that's a good point, actually. That's a very good point. So we're not saying.
But I was raised in the church. So being that I understand the energies of Christianity, the Christ consciousness, I understand that. I understand how my grandmother would get into this magical phase of trance. And what trance, the formula of trance is utilizing words over and over again, over and over again, over mm-hmm. and over again, over and over again. It puts you in a state, and especially in an emotional state. And you are your first tool. I don't care what magical practice you're in. What I've learned is you are your first magical tool. Instead of utilizing outside sources or outside instruments, you are your first tool. So what comes from the heart out of the mouth shall be. And because you are a words person, I think that would be, I'm in agreement with Mr. Ed there that you're the chaos guy.
Yes. No, I mean, I definitely want to explore it more. It's interesting. And also the word chaos is just interesting to me. I think in general, I've been told I have a chaotic energy and not in just like a, I mean, sometimes it's a neurotic energy, but, you know, with people, it's like I'm very much about, you know, okay, we could start this conversation, but also let's start 10 other conversations and come back to this one later and boom, boom, boom. I'm just grabbing whatever is drawing my attention in that moment. What's the most interesting thing in that moment? Which might not be great for meditation. I know there, you also have to kind of get yourself, like you said, into this
Being focused is important.
It is a key part. And it's, so you got to have both. You got to have both. But naturally, there is like, there definitely, I resonate with the sense of bringing chaos to the world in just for, I don't know, just for my entertainment in a way.
Is it just simply your entertainment or is it just not the natural order of things? What comes order is disorder.
Oh my gosh, you are blowing my mind. See, you're good. This is the kind of insight you get from Avina. And you know what? I've read a bunch of your testimonials and people say, you know, you don't even have to look at the cards. You look at people, the people tell you nothing and you just read stuff about them, which we're going to get to. I do want to get to how you, when you discovered you had these abilities, but let's get back to Wicca for a second, because you said that we're talking about hoodoo voodoo, you didn't think it resonated. When you were in Wicca, what was it about that practice or that mindset that you really did like?
Nature. It was so natural. The way it honored nature. We're living in this world that is so AI, so mechanical, so unnatural, that the food ain't natural no more. You're eating plastic lettuce and plastic rice, and they injecting all kind of crap into your chicken and stuff. There's ain't nothing natural, you know. But the way... You're about to get me emotional, Greg, and I'm trying not to go there with you.
No, please do what you have to do. I'm very curious.
The way they honor what we came from, Earth, this planet, the very thing that nurtures us, that heals us, that all the herbs, everything that's gone wrong in the world, you got the herb that can heal you for it. The food that it provides us, the air that it provides us, the heat that it provides us, the coolness that it provides us. When we came into this world, we go back into the dirt and we're destroying it by littering. There's more trash in the water than there is land mass on the planet. and the air is disgusting, and the food tastes like crap. You remember how chicken tasted 20 years ago versus now? I mean, everything is
Right.
just going straight to hell, and they are destroying our nature, all the pollution in the water and in the earth. And but Wicca, they pay homage to nature, they respect nature. That right there drew me in. I was sold.
Wow. So did you spend a lot of time, I mean, were you spending a lot of time in nature? Were you doing practices out there?
Well, I was always attracted to nature, but I'm from the urban hoods of ATL. Who finna just sit outside unless you sit on a porch?
That's
You
what I
better
was
be
curious
inside by a
about.
certain time because, depending on where in Atlanta you live in, you don't want to be sitting out all night, depending on where in Atlanta you live in. So that wasn't
Right.
really an option for me. And I grew up during the time of the Atlanta child murders. I don't know if you ever heard of that.
Oh, I don't know about that. No, please tell me about
Okay,
that. Oh my
real
gosh.
quick, there was a period of time between the late 1970s through the early 80s where there was a guy going around kidnapping and killing children in Atlanta.
Oof, rough.
So that's a lot of scared parents, and mine were too, of the
Yeah.
parents that were very afraid. So not only were they going to shelter me anyways, but that just added on to the sheltering. So me going outside, I had to sneak and join different clubs at my school to keep me away from the house. So
Oh my
that
gosh.
I could be away from the house and be outside. I was very sheltered. So being out in nature wasn't a thing, but I would sit at my window and stare outside for and hours looking in the stars. I could tell you what constellation was what in the stars. So that's how deep I was into it. I
Yeah.
would sit under the tree that was in my backyard, although I couldn't sit as long as I would like to, but I did that much. But when I got older and being out of nature, going to the parks, going to there's a nature reserve on the west side of Atlanta where there's waterfalls. Oh my gosh, you talk, oh, my home. So
Wow.
when I got into Wicca, that gave me more of an excuse to find reasons to utilize nature and just being in it and utilizing it for magical practices. That just gave me a bigger excuse to do it.
Were there people in Atlanta that did you find a community pretty easily practicing this
Well,
stuff?
when the student is ready, the teacher will come. So it took a little minute, but there were teachers that eventually came. If there weren't like teachers, there were students of teachers that, they would give me directives. And keep in mind, there was no such thing as internet back in my day.
Right.
So,
That's what I was curious about. Late 90s. I mean, to find this stuff out. I mean, you had to go to like a used bookstore back in the days to find occult stuff. Now it's everywhere. I'm kind of curious how you even managed to. How did things happen? Was there a divine synchronicity that played out? I mean, where did you even turn?
So I have an older sister. I don't know if you heard of this cult called the Nuwapian Nation. Ever heard of them?
No. This is great. I'm learning so much today. I am
I am
I'm
your
honored.
teacher.
You are the teacher I needed today.
When the student is ready, the teacher will come, right?
Yes. This is amazing. Ivina, school me. School me on this cult.
So there was a cult that was started by a guy in New York named Dr. York. And I'm so glad I'm out of that cult. Yeah, it's crazy. But this guy, he was taking his followers through different schools of thought, different schools of religion, Hebrew Israelites, Christianity, the Native American lifestyle with the whole Yemassee tribe. I mean,
Right.
I'm not fluent in that part because I wasn't born until the mid 70s, and he began in the late 60s, officially like 1970, I think it was. So my older sister, she was a part of that doctrine. And to people on the outside looking at her, and again, I'm coming from a Southern Baptist home, my family looking at her like, what you dressed like the Muslim for? What is you doing, girl? Why is you going away doing all this other extra stuff? You better come back home and find Jesus. So
Right,
it was
right.
that kind of thing. But I've always looked at my sister as unique, and I wanted to know what she was doing. So she introduced books to me. And what some of the books that Dr. York wrote was basically freeing people from Christianity or from religion, period, from the three major religions, and, you know, embracing self and kind, you know, the whole, again, Ungawa Black Power. So,
right.
So that what freed me from religion. Some of the books, like explaining Christianity, explaining Christmas, explaining Adam and Eve, like where the Adam and Eve's children's wives came from, you know, all these other different, these simple questions that no pastor could answer for me. So the Nuwapia Nation and Dr. York, which I am grateful for him teaching me to release myself from religion. I'm grateful for that. Otherwise, I'd have been very confused trying to hang on to Jesus and being a witch. That's something that would have been interesting. But that's what started me in my magic, because he also dropped information regarding several different magical practices, different little things like the magical squares. I remember that was taught. Some of the symbols, and he had a divination tool where you're utilizing these squares. I have them over here. Oh, right here.
You have them still?
Yep. And I use them.
Interesting. Some of these,
I don't know if you can see.
So do you believe, even though this may have become a cult, do you believe this gentleman was properly, did it come from good intentions? Did he know a little bit of what he's talking about and it went off course?
Yeah, exactly. I believe it started off with good intentions and it went somewhere else, because right now this man is serving 130 some odd years in prison in the state in a maximum prison in Colorado. He's like in under the mountain in Colorado. So
wow.
I had nothing to do with none of that, what was going on with them folks with that, but I am forever grateful for him pulling me away from Christianity. All that other hoopla, I had nothing to do with.
I wasn't there. This is very interesting. There's a lot of interesting stuff on this. I was looking this up quickly, and look up Dr. York cult in Google and you'll see some interesting things. But okay, so your sister, you said, was in it. And I guess my question about this was about what even was the question? Oh, it was about people in Atlanta and who you sought out to be your teacher. I guess, well, you learned from this a little bit. How long did you stay in the Wicca phase?
Wow. Several years.
I mean, it got you out of homelessness, which is also interesting. I mean, what was that? Did you put a spell out there? Was it manifestation?
And you know what? That and my then mate, now husband, ain't no way in the world you can make me call him my boyfriend. We too old for that crap. But my then mate, my now husband, introduced me to the law of attraction, introduced me to Louise Hayes, introduced me to Abraham Hicks,
right.
All of these different things to try to help uplift me, because when I get sad, I get sad, the ugly face and everything. And it was really hard to get out of this depression, right, and try to, you know, find help for me and my son. So he was introducing me to all of these things, and all of these things are associated with magic, you know, creating things that you want in your life and removing those things that no longer serves you. So trying to attract the things that I wanted, I attracted a job, I attracted money, I attracted places to stay. And there she go with that. So with Wicca, that's what brought me back and forth into Wicca. I officially got into Wicca, I want to say 2010, officially. I've been looking into it since like 99. Right. Doing little things because I thought it was just so cool. You know, it's fun. I wasn't officially trained, but really studying, reading, and practicing and asking questions and talking to people. The internet is in my hands now. And
yeah,
at that point, and I'm really studying into Wicca. So it was several years between 99 and maybe, oh, geez, hanging on to Wicca and studying other things. I didn't just stop Wicca and then, okay, I'm gonna do something else. It was an overlap.
Well, this is what I was gonna say. I'm realizing now that I made a mistake here in this interview, which is I'm looking for order with a chaos magician. I'm trying to piece your story together with someone that very much is living in the non-linear, it seems. You're grasping things from different traditions. You're using what you need to at times. You're walking down the street, you see entities come at you and they disappear. And then one day you decide to summon something. I mean, as much as there might be an order to the life of Evina, there really isn't, because that's kind of the... that's the magic you practice. That's the energy you're putting out to the world. Do you agree or disagree?
Totally agree. And didn't even realize during the time as I was walking it that I was totally chaotic and trying to find order on purpose, but not, just wasn't built for that. And then I realized that that's not me.
Yeah. But I like that you are someone that always did remain true to yourself. I mean, you said you spent a lot of time by yourself as a kid. So I imagine that is obvious. People probably don't spend enough time isolated these days to get to know themselves. That's a great way to start. But in terms of your ability to be able to know what resonates with you and what doesn't resonate, was that something, did you ever have to shed any of the masks of society? Did you ever go for a phase where you were like, okay, yeah, everybody's telling me to do this, therefore I'll do this? Or were you just always naturally born as an independent thinker? Because that's what it sounds like to me.
Nope, I was always following the crowd because I wanted to be liked.
Really?
Wanted to have friends. But then I got older and I flipped everybody off. Like, screw you, hippie, I'm going my way.
Was there a moment where that happened? Or was it just a gradual shedding?
I think it was a gradual shedding. As you get older, you know, and I'm understanding my elders more and more. It's like, older you get, the more less of a fuck you give.
So yes, that seems to be a universal thing. The smart people, at least. Yeah, the evolved people get to that. Certainly as you ascend spiritually, it seems that people start giving less of an F about everything. I definitely resonate with that. Now, I do want to ask you about the way that you started actually working with others. I mean, at what point in the journey did you say, hey, let me give you a reading? I mean, did that come, was that just something you decided to do? Did it just happen one day by incidence? I mean, I'm curious, that story.
So here's the story. You know how when you doing things and then a voice tells you to do contrary, and yeah, you do your initial move anyway, and then the voice come back with the, then you have this shoulda, woulda, coulda moment.
Yes.
And the voice comes back with the, now what have we learned? I got tired of that. I got really sick and tired of that, to the point that was depressing me. Like, I'm so sick of not doing, my life could have been so much bigger and so much grander, or I could be living so much better than what I'm doing. And it's because I'm not listening to that voice, and that voice keep telling me to do stuff, but it's telling me to do stuff that sound weird, and I'll do what I want to do. And then I bump myself in the head. I'm so tired of it. So I did a prayer, and I prayed to please whoever this voice is, because I couldn't differentiate between the voice of reason and the voice of just talking shit, telling me to go do bad things. So I did prayers for that particular voice to make itself known and to help me, guide me. So one magical day, it was May 2012 when the world was supposed to blow up, and it didn't. Right. It's May 2012, and a good friend of mine, she was running late for work, and she asked me to take her to work. Fine, no problem. She's like my sister, so I'm gonna help her. So I took her to work, and on my way back home, this voice told me to go down a particular street, down Highway 85. And I'm like, the fuck I need to do that shit for? So I said, okay. I pulled the Kevin Hart. Okay.
Yes, yes.
And I decided to go down. And as I'm going down the highway, I'm getting to this business district. And I noticed a cute older man. He's kind of walking all left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right. It's midnight. And I'm like, oh, look at that man over there. Walking so cute. He better go home. Me and I hear this late at night. I'm all woo-woo. So yes. I noticed a police car leaving out the exit driveway of McDonald's and turned right and heading, going south down 85. Spirit says, turn in here. And I'm like, McDevils? What I look like going into McDevils? Okay, you know what? Nope, nope. Okay, I'm going to listen to you. So I pull in. He didn't say to order anything, so I ordered me a chocolate frappe, as the fat little piggy would. So I ordered me a chocolate frappe.
Right,
and I
right.
pull around, and there are three vehicles in front of me. There is a, don't judge the way I'm going to describe these cars. There's a light-skinned car in front of me, a tan vehicle. There's a dark-skinned car in front of it, and a dark-skinned SUV at the checkout window. And I'm sitting at the compartment that's the armrest. So I'm opening it up so I can reach in and get my money. And I look up and I see out the passenger side window that same old man walking by the walking through the back parking lot. He all of a sudden stops and fell to the ground and start having what I thought was an epileptic seizure. My natural instinct is to go out and help them, but spirit said, no, stop, look. And I'm getting all scared, like, I could be helping him, and you want me to stop with him? I'm gonna listen. Oh, he needs some help.
Yeah.
And that's my natural way, is just go to run and help people. But spirit said don't, so I'm listening. And then all of a sudden that man, he stopped, he sat up, and then when he turned and looked at me, he had this evil mean look on his face. And I'm like, oh shit, what's happening? And I look, as I continue looking on, he got up and he had this wide step as if something was getting used to using this body. And freaked my mind out. Still, that wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen. That thing in the sky was the worst thing I saw.
Right, but right.
That freaked me out. Like, oh shit. So from where I'm from, I ain't used to seeing nothing like that. So then when I turned facing forward, nobody was in front of me. All of those three vehicles that was in front of me were gone. So I pull up my silly behind. Instead of saying, ah, there's something going on in your parking lot, there's a strange man out here. Instead of saying that, I said, wow, you really moved those cars along really fast in front of me. So the manager at the drive-thru window, he was like, what cars, ma'am? And I'm like, the two cars in the SUV that was in front of me. He said, ma'am, the last car that was here before you pulled up was the police car.
Oh, what?
He kept the change because I didn't want it. I got my frappe and went home, and I'm trying to understand what the heck was that. And what I understood was spirit was telling me, was training me. You said you wanted to listen to me, and I'm going to take you down a journey because your purpose in life is to be a spiritual teacher, not this musician thing you call yourself trying to be. So if you're going to listen to me, we're going to see if you're really ready to listen to me. So you passed the test, except nobody told you to get those frappe, but you passed the test. And what I needed you to see is possession is real.
Wow.
So I'm like, okay. So the very next day, to answer your question, the very next week,
yeah,
a good friend of mine came into town, and her friend, so that's what started the whole McDonald's thing. That's what started. And me wanting to listen to this voice, and me wanted to follow the advice and listen to spirit, which people call your higher self. And in Ifa, which is the West African tradition out of the Yoruba tribe in Nigeria, they call your higher self your Ori. So I'm trying to listen to my Ori, my higher self. And I said, okay, this is what I signed up for. So my good friend came into town, and she was telling me that, you know, that she's up at her sister's house in the north end of town. And for me to get my sister, the same sister who I told you who was in the that cult, I wanted to learn more about, to get my sister, let's go up and let's fellowship together. And I'm like, yay, my girl in town, I'm all happy. So me and my sister, we went on the north end of town and greeted her children. They were all like, auntie, and I'm just so happy to see them. So I'm meeting her new dude. most girls have this conversation like, girl, I met this new guy. He's so this and he's so that. We ain't never been that type of friends, because what I need to tell you about my man for, what you want to know for. That's the mindset she and I had together.
Right.
So,
right.
But she wanted me to meet him. So I come up there to meet him and I'm like, it's nice to meet you. And hey, girl, how you doing? So we're sitting at the square table. He's in front of me. She's to the right of me. And my sister and her sister were sitting on the couch in the living room talking. And we're like, hey, girl, so good to see you. Nice to meet you, sir. We're just yada. All of a sudden, I feel this really heat, really deep heat hit the crown of my head as if somebody had a ray gun from heaven shooting down at me. And it scared me. I have long locks, long dreadlocks. And it fell forward and covered my face, which I was so grateful for. And I'm like, okay, Evina, now you're tripping. They're looking at you looking stupid. And I'm gasping. And I'm like, I don't know what's happening. And then right. I feel this same heat hit my stomach. And I'm like, why is it getting so hot in here? What is this heat? Who's shooting at me? What's happening? And I look up at the guy. All of a sudden, it was like a transparent movie, except, you know, the scratch and sniff type of thing, smell of vision.
Yeah.
Instead of, it was smell of vision, feel of vision, hear of vision, see of vision. All of a sudden, I'm able to tell this man about himself, his baby mama, which I really hate that term, his children's mother, his mother, a dead sibling of his, and the fact that he's out of his league trying to date my friend. Keep in mind, I ain't met him but 5 minutes. I don't know nothing about this man. Not even 5 minutes. And as I'm speaking these things and I'm receiving this information, it wasn't like me talking because I don't have this information. Somebody else giving me this information. And my friend, she's like, and we always had like deep conversations, conscious conversations, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But she's looking at me like, yo, sis, you kind of evolved since the last time we talked. What you been drinking or smoking? Can I have some of that? But she's she's verifying everything that I'm saying. And I'm freaking out because she's verifying it. And I'm like, what, you right? But I couldn't really react because I'm still too busy getting all this download and telling him about himself. And everybody's eyes are getting all big. And that's what started my journey and being able to see and feel people's business.
I am. So this happened. It just came out of you. Is that a weird thing to all of a sudden have these, be able to experience this stuff? Did you not know what this was? Did you want to shut it down immediately? Or did you just say, you know what? Spirit told me to have this. I'm going to run with it. I mean, I don't even know what would happen to me if one day I woke up and all of a sudden, boom, all these things just turned on. What do you do with that?
So there is in the middle of Georgia, there's a city called Millersville. And in Millersville lies, I can't remember if it's noted as the country's largest or the state's largest mental institution. And I thought I was going to go there. So the saying we have here in Georgia is, y'all about to run me to Millersville. So I thought I was going to run to Millersville because I thought I was going crazy. But then I remembered, this is what I asked for. So, you know, be careful what you ask for. When I say be careful what you ask for, you get the good, bad, and the ugly, and the indifferent. So after calming down, which took some weeks to calm down from that, talking to my husband and, oh, what a great support I have. Talking to my husband and trying to collect myself and understand what just happened to me. I asked for that. And now that began my journey. And I'm glad I listened.
Your husband, who you've mentioned to me before, is a practitioner. And also you mentioned, you know, he got you into law of attraction, stuff like that. A dynamic African spiritual practitioner and teacher. I mean, was he well-versed in this stuff? Did he have a similar journey through Wicca and all these things too? Or I'm curious, where's he coming from with all this?
So when I met him, I actually met him in the doctrine at one of our bookstores that the Nuwapia Nation had in the east side of Atlanta, actually Stone Mountain area.
So he was a Nuwapian.
He was already in there, right? Already.
Interesting.
And that's how I met him. And he was mostly interested in, you know, the development of Black consciousness type stuff. I was just interested in learning these different sciences and stuff. I didn't care about the other extra stuff. I was the woo-woo person. He was the read a book type of guy. And I can read, I read a book, but I am very quick. If it's boring, oh, I'm so quick to call boring. And I used to get on his nerves a lot.
Right.
So I was the woo-woo practitioner type, and he was the reader and educator. He would listen to NPR quicker than I would. So,
right.
But what got him on his journey, not only just watching me, but we left the doctrine. We left the WAPI Nation. He was still, I know you lying. He was trying to find his spiritual home.
You're a lady in demand. It's all good. It's all good.
Yeah, it is. Thank you. he was desperate to try to find his spiritual home. And he was jumping with me. Actually, I was jumping with him. We're going to be very clear. Because I was picking on him about what I call the organization, the Ho Hopper. Because he was hopping from this organization, that organization. But I was hopping from this spiritual path and that spiritual path. So I was being a good wife. I was hopping along with him. And it was him that introduced me to some of these other things I've never heard of before. I never heard of Luciferianism. What's that? Lucifer, you've got me worshiping the devil, boy. What did you got me doing? I didn't know nothing. I knew nothing about that. Holistic health. He was the one that introduced me to iridology. I am a certified iridologist. I thought you'd be calling me out my name. Say, baby, you want to study iridology? Your mama, what you call me? So I knew nothing about these terms. And now I practice these different forms of holistic health, kinesiology, iridology. Yes. And it was because of him. But it took him a minute to find his home, but he was the one that was mostly focused on African tradition. That wasn't my home. I gave it the old college go, but it just wasn't my home. I tried it. And with the path that he's on now, he's at home, and I'm so happy for him. I'm very proud of him. And now he gives readings. And I'm like, bro, when I first met you, you couldn't even dream. Now you give readings through dreams and toss and shells. Wow,
he couldn't dream? That's an interesting thing.
Right. Like when we first got together, we were dating. I dreamed of everything. And then, you know, couples, new couples. So what did you dream about? And he's looking at me like, dream.
Huh? I don't have dreams. Yes.
I don't know. I just woke up. I'm like, really? You don't remember what just happened with your eyes closed? I don't know.
That is always
now
so
everything
weird
is so vivid. Everything is colors and feelings. And I'm proud of him.
What do you think allows someone that isn't able to dream to all of a sudden get it? Is that a spiritual thing? What is your thought on that?
Well, I don't know about anybody else, but for him specifically, it was because of his journey in spirituality. And when he got into African tradition, there was one tradition he got into that actually had a course called Dream Warriors course. And that's what triggered him. That's what triggered it for him. I don't know how to speak for anybody else who have problems with. He's the first and only person I met that had that issue. So I can't answer that. But for him, it was because of, you know, the African tradition that he was in. They had a course, you know, by a trained professional to teach him. And that's what helped him.
Yeah. Very interesting. Yeah. And I love this couple of two people that are versed in different traditions, still magical, but you know, he found his thing, you found your thing. I'm sure there is overlap, but I don't know. I find it's a romantic coupling of occult practices. That's it's kind of a unique thing, because I feel like most couples when they get together, they're all kind of, you know, yeah, we're both hermetic magicians, or you know, we both practice, like we're both in the Freemasons, and we mean the real Mason stuff. You know what I mean, baby? Right. But you are just like, you are mixing things together, which is, I don't know. I mean, could this chaos create a whole new form of magic? Are you and your husband done yet? Maybe there's a new thing that's going to even come out of this that you didn't even expect.
I look forward to whatever it is. It's our journey together. We made a contract, which I'll call a marriage, and we're a team to create things together. And we have been creating things now for the last 15 years that we've been together. And I'm excited to see what the next 15 will be and the next after that.
Yeah. Now, look, I do want to ask you, Ivina, about your what you are a now a devotee of, which is this these I don't even know, Ishe and Kali. Who's Ishe? Who's Kali? I know they're from the African traditional religions, but how did you encounter them? Yeah, I'd love to know about your devotion.
Okay, so here we go. Ishe is a lineage of the African tradition called Ifa, which is out of the West African region and for, practiced by in Nigeria and Benin. I'm getting tongue-tied. And there are various lineages of Ifa. And one is Ishe, which is basically tradition, basically out straight out of Africa. And the other one is Lukumi, which is in short, basically the Latin version or the Westernized version, the Westernized slash Latin version. There's a lot of Spanish speakers who practice Ifa. Then you got Kondublé. Then you have Santeria. They all recognize the Orishas or the demigods of the tradition. And they also recognize the head god, who we call Olodumare. So that's Ifa. And I chose which lineage? I chose the traditional one, the Ishe. So I'm just a devotee. I've been called by many priests who are called, the male priests are called Babalawos. And the female priests are called Ianifas or Ialawos. And I've been called by many of these people the Ianifa in training or the priestess in training. I'm like, oh, that's sweet. Okay, thank you.
Oh,
But
wow.
don't call me that yet. Wait till I get initiated and go through it.
Right.
I don't want to be disrespectful. But how I got into Ifa was I was trying to avoid it. I was trying to avoid it. I knew about the Orishas, Oshun, Shango. You know, I was familiar with all of the different, well, the seven major Orishas. There's a whole bunch more than that. But the seven major Orishas, I was familiar with it, but I was like, I'm not feeling being a Nigerian. I'm good.
Right, right.
Then I did a DNA test to find out I'm 44% Nigerian. I'm like, wow, who I quit playing with me, my life like that.
Wow.
So to make this story short, three different times, spirit literally placed me in front of the one same Babalawo, this one guy in my area in Atlanta. And I'm not even in Atlanta. I'm out the one of the eastern counties outside of Atlanta. So the small little city where I'm at, and here's a Babalawo, really, not in Atlanta, but where I'm at, three different times. I'm like, okay, I hear you. We're fine. So
Right.
that's what got me into Ifa. It's like, okay. But again, I didn't feel like I was at home, but I love Ifa. Kali, how I got into that, that's all my husband. That's just all my husband being a good wife and looking into what he's doing. And both African traditions deal in ancestral veneration. And I love communicating with, talking with, working with my ancestors, and in both traditions, we do ancestor worship, amongst other things. And then my husband got into Kali, so I'm being nosy, looking like, "Hey, what you over there doing? What's that? What's that? I want to know." With my nosy behind, wanting to learn everything.
Right.
So that's how I got it. And Kali, what Kali is an African tradition out of the northern regions of Ghana, practiced by the Dagbani people.
Wow. Now look, I this is so I always wonder okay, here's an interesting perspective that I would love to have shaped more. It seems as if magic takes on specific structures and forms. So there's spells, there's summoning spirits, there's once you get really deep, there's opening portals, whatever that means. There's meditative trance, there's manifesting, creating something out of nothing, all this stuff. And I'm going, okay, so Yeah, I mean, if it's all the same, if it's pretty much similar forms and spells and things are similar tradition to tradition, what makes this practice of magic in Ghana different than a Western hermeticism? Does the portal look different? Does the spell feel different? What are the specific pieces of this magic that make it unique? That what's the cultural trope, or not the cultural trope, the cultural the unique recipe of that magic that might be in an African tradition versus like a Western, like we were talking about, candles, Wicca, that kind of whatever it is. Are there definable things that you can put to words so we can understand this a little more? Because I'm very curious about that.
Absolutely. There's some significant differences. For example, there's a difference between a shrine and an altar, where in most like Western practices or European practices, they utilize, not to say they don't utilize shrines, but they like to use that word, those words interchangeably. There's nothing interchangeable about that in African tradition. For a
Interesting.
shrine, for altars, people get all woo-woo. I think this acorn is so beautiful, and I want to put the flower on the altar,
Right.
and I think the ancestors and the spirits would love this. On a shrine, you better not. There's specific ingredients that goes on the shrine that we
Totally.
utilize to communicate with it. Don't add nothing extra. Don't get all woo-woo and cutesy. You might be disrespectful.
Interesting.
And a shrine could do everything that an altar can do, but an altar can't do everything that a shrine can do. And that's what my the spiritual leader of Kali taught me. And I was like, whoa, that's deep. And I can kind of see that. It's another difference is, for example, Wicca, they one of the things that people use in Wicca is utilizing the moon. The moon phases. So we have to wait for a particular moon phase to do certain things.
Yes.
Waxing moon to attract, waning moon to dispel or repel. In African tradition, nah, we ain't gotta wait for none of that. We're to do it now. Let's get it, do it, get her done now.
Right.
Let's go ahead and get a goat or a chicken or something, and hey, let's get her done.
Yes.
Another significant difference, speaking of animals, that I have personally never seen sacrifices being done in Wicca. I ain't saying they don't exist. I just never seen it, and I don't think that exists in Wicca. African traditions, oh yeah. And people look at it as killing animals. And yeah, that's what happens. But we're not just yanking up an animal and cutting their necks and pouring blood, and it's
Right.
not like that. In fact, that's very disrespectful. What it is in certain African traditions is noted as purifying. Life is in your blood. That's your life source. Without it, you're dead. And we're calling down energies, whether if it's a deity energy or the energies of the ancestors or a higher spiritual energy that come down into this sacred animal that we're worshiping, that we're praising, and we're thanking, we're appreciating its sacrifice to whatever work that we're utilizing it for. And then that energy is now in the blood of that animal, depending on which one that the spirit wanted. There's a reading that's done first. Let's say, oh, I want a man, and I want a specific man. And then I go to the African traditionist, they do a reading first. And they say, okay, in order for this particular kind of man, the way you want it to happen, that spirit sees fit, spirit is saying they want a goat or they want a particular color bird, not just any bird. They want a red rooster or we want a white dove, depending on what, or a particular color hen, depending on what they want. And when we get it, then we summon their energies down into that bird. And then we do the sacrifice and we put the blood on top of the other stuff that the deity said they wanted, whether if it's like certain foods, certain herbs, certain whatever it is, other stuff that they ask for, then we marinate it. They do some other stuff depending on which tradition it is. It varies on what to do afterwards, and then what, sit back and watch the magic happen.
Now, what is that? And again, I know this is you kind of have to really experience this in person, but I'm always wondering, is there anything visual that you've seen? Is there any? Because I was talking to some people the other night. I mean, these two Australian guys that are very much Stephen and Evan Strong, who are very much in the UFO scene. They're talking about the summer solstice and how right now, actually, I'm curious, cross-reference with your experience, there's a lot of talk about indigenous cultures, at least the Hopi in Australia, that they were claiming everywhere around the world, the Mayans, all this stuff, said that this, around this time, this December 21st, 22nd time, from 2020 through 2023, there is like a waking up of the earth going on. And we all really have to be high consciousness and all this stuff. Look, I don't know. Again, I want to believe. I'm always a seeker. I'm a seeker. But they were telling me, they were talking about one of these Australian elders who was talking about, you know, this. I think it was a kangaroo was talking to me, just casually said, oh, yeah, I heard it from that kangaroo over there. And I think that guy meant it literally. And they said he meant it literally. I mean, have you ever experienced any talking animals? Have you ever, you know, have you ever shapeshifted? I mean, what is, how far does it go? How interesting does it get?
There's no limit. There's no limit. And that's interesting coming from a person on the outside looking in, that kind of perspective, because we're used to limits. Because we are limited. I can't, while I'm sitting here in this space with you right now, I can't all of a sudden, well, I probably could if I work on it, but I just can't pop up in your house all of a sudden and tap your shoulder behind you and be like, hey, Greg, that's crazy. And be there and here at the same time. But spirits can. Spirits can. There's a story that I often talk about. It's in one of my podcast episodes where I felt cows. This is when I learned that how deep of an empath I was. I didn't even know I was an empath, let alone an animal empath, that I felt everything the cows was feeling. I was feeling good, feeling great. I love hip hop. That's what I was brought up in hip hop. So, and I love Atlanta hip hop. So I'm listening to Little John and the East Side Boys, and I'm having memories of being in the club in Atlanta. And I'm like this. And then all of a sudden I'm getting all sad and depressed and hopelessness, and these very words came to me that no one is coming to save me, all hope is lost, and if I go into that building, I will never be seen again. Those were the words that came through to me, and it came from those cows and what they were talking about. My husband's a truck driver, and I was riding with him for 2 years going through the countryside in Southern California, and there was this field of cows to the right side of us. He was listening to NPR on the truck radio, and I was listening to my headphones and my phone, listening to hip hop, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cows. And in a faraway distance, further back, was this manufacturing building. And that's the building they were talking about. But I wasn't paying them any attention. I was too busy listening to my music getting crunk, as Little John's Magic have you easily do, you know? And I run to the back of the truck in the buck, boo-hooing like somebody killed my puppy or something. I was so upset because I felt their pain. But those specific words came to me. I ain't thinking about no cows. And I ain't used to cows. I'm from Atlanta. I don't think about no cows. But that's what I had that experience with the cows and heard what they said and felt what they felt.
That is fascinating.
And in regards to these different portals that's opening up, it's like sequences of events, right? So there have been periods of time throughout history, especially recent history, in recent years, that certain portals and gates open up. And there's a flood of energies that flood down to Earth to either people who are already here or babies that's coming. You notice these new babies, these new beings that's coming in, there's some new type of creatures, but they're coming in here with their mindsets and the way they think versus
that's
the way
it.
We
yeah, live. Right? The UFO people call them the star seeds, right? The rainbow indigo children. But yes, no, there definitely seems to be a sensitivity and intuition that the next generation has that is remarkable.
That's on another level, right? It's because indigo children and star seeds, we've been here, but these folks is on a whole nother level.
Right, right.
So there's these portals, and like, again, it's sequences of events. So there's been portals that's been opening on this particular day, that particular date, this, and here come another date, no different. And these sequences of events is leading way to, for an event, a major event to happen. You're not just gonna just, earth is in turmoil, then bam, everything's right. All light and pretty. It's not, it's a sequence, it's an overlap of events that's gonna happen, and it may get even darker before it gets lighter for earth. And those who are ready, and those who are energetically ready, taking care of their body correctly, taking care of their minds, and taking care of their spirits correctly, will be able to elevate high enough to go with the higher vibration of the earth. Everybody else from the parish. And that's like a form of hell that's been talked about in the Bible. Fiery hell and all that, we've been here. I don't believe in all of that.
Right.
But that's basically what's happening. And these animals feel it, these plants feel it, and a lot of us humans are feeling it. But those who are choosing to not feel it, they are, you know, willfully being indoctrinated and willfully being blinded by the powers that be. They tell them anything and they just saying, you know, okay, I believe you, sir, you know, I believe what you're telling me. The very people who've been trying to kill us off, folks are believing them and listening to what they're saying instead of listening to what's going on inside and listening to spirit. Got all these downloads coming to you, but you have to be open enough. And you can't be open enough if you're eating wrong foods, if you're listening to wrong tones and vibrations going in your head that include hip-hop, rock music, some gospel music, believe it or not. All of these different tones that are toxic to our ears, watching all this toxic stuff that we're watching, the reality TV and some of these other different things that's blocking our sight. Everything that we induce is toxicity.
What about marijuana? Is marijuana on that list?
Yep. Let me tell you why. Because this weed ain't the same kind of weed it was back in the day.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. What do they put? What do you think they're putting in it?
I mean, I don't know, the same type of crap they're doing with all the other food. They just keep messing up everything that we putting in our system. You think the very people who tearing up our food ain't tearing up everything else? They tearing up the religious aspect, the political aspect, the educational aspect. Of course, they messing with the spiritual aspect and our food. Anything to keep us messed up, they got their hands in. Everything. Right. That includes weed.
Yeah, because they keep discovering, and again, I had someone on my show about this too, they keep discovering traces of weed in temples and in, I don't know if I'm going to say altars. I think they were altars in these locations. They discover traces of it from thousands and thousands of years ago. So I'm going, clearly there is something. You were talking about nature before. Clearly there is something to this grass that comes from the earth that has been used in ancient traditions. There has to be something here. But also, weed is, there are a lot of people that just smoke weed and do nothing. They just sit around and do absolutely nothing. And I'm going, how is this spiritual ascension? How is this, what is happening here with this? It could be a consciousness issue too, but you also have to question, what are they putting in this stuff? Where is the weed coming from? How do we know it's the good stuff?
I mean, two things I want to say to that. Abuse of anything, it's abuse. And people who ain't got nothing better to do with their life instead of utilizing, okay, that's just like taking Tylenol. You taking too much Tylenol, is that going to help you?
That's right. Yeah, you're right. That's a great point.
So people who just smoking weed just to be smoking weed, getting high, they're sitting on behind having shoulda, woulda, coulda moments. Man, I want to run a business, man, and I'm going to make millions of dollars. But you still sitting right there on your ass, ain't doing that, but just talking the talk, but ain't no walking. Same thing. And with, in regards to, like, these deposits, weed shops that's been popping up everywhere, I find it mighty funny that these same people making money selling weed ain't been thrown to jail, but these people, other people, especially people of color, who are locked up on these small weed charges, who did the exact same thing. They just didn't have a brick and mortar. They just did it out in the street. Wasn't hurt nobody. They were just selling weed that has killed nobody, but they're in jail for it.
You're
So, but you
right. They're
got all
still
these
in jail. You're absolutely right.
still in jail, but you got these people who running these weed shops legally. So who wrong with that? So you got to say something's fishy about that whole weed thing. Me personally, I stopped smoking weed for a reason. They, when I say they, I mean spirit, literally took the taste of smoking out of my mouth. I was gonna go re-up and get some more. What happened was my mother-in-law passed away last year. The most sweetest, most wonderful
I'm sorry to
person
hear
on the
that.
planet. Thank you. She was the and it happened like out the blue. We're expecting her to walk out the hospital and she never did. So they pulled the plug on a Sunday. This was May last year. I when we found out everything the Thursday before, my son-in-law and I, we went to get got some weed. We messed up. We crying. We hurting. So we went and got some weed and we're smoking. So that weed lasted until throughout to that Monday. They pulled the plug Sunday. We really messed up. That Tuesday, I'm finna go re-up. I'm finna get some more weed. And I did just like this. I could hold out until another day. I'll just chill. I don't want to smoke no weed, so I just get some tomorrow. Never went back.
Wow.
Never went back. I don't know what happened. They took the weed, the taste of weed out of my mouth, and it has to be for a reason for me specifically. I'm not damning weed or saying, weed is bad. Leave the marijuana alone. Leave the devil's grass alone. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying for me, that's what happened for me, for my particular development and growth. And I know it had to do with everything in spiritual sciences for me. So
Yeah.
I ain't smoked in over a year and a half. So do I
Wow.
miss it? Nah, I don't. I'm good.
Do you feel that because you stopped, you have tapped into something deeper in any aspect of your spiritualism or spirituality?
I'm a lot more active as so far as, and this is not to say that I wasn't active with weed. It depended on which strand, sativa versus indica, but because one gets you working and the other gets you sit down. But I just find myself more active. I find myself more freer. I think a whole lot clearer because I when I was smoking weed, I wasn't smoking it for spiritual practices. I was smoking because I wanted to get high.
Yeah,
So how
yeah.
I wanted to sit on my behind, and I think spirit was like, we're not sitting on our behind no more. So
Right. Wow. Very interesting. Well, look, let's I want to talk about, your show for a second. You have this podcast called the Me Middleton Show, which is not, I would love if this show was about a woman that was delusional enough to think she was Kate Middleton, but that is not what it is. It's with a Y. What is, yeah, what, where did Me Middleton, what is that from?
I actually illustrate this in the very first episode of the Me Middleton show to get the fans to understand who I am. So here we go. You know those last names that illustrate, coming from well-to-do family or a wealthy family, like Overton or something like that.
Yeah.
So the type of person I was when I was hanging around my family and friends, I'm that type. You have that clique of friends, and you have that one person who's either the nerd or the person who just knows everything, or that one who's just too woo-woo for their own good. They're cool to
Yes.
hang out with, but then they get into that whole woo-woo or nerd talk, just really nerding out, and it's like, okay, bro, calm down. That was me. I
Wow.
was that person. So being, coming from the hoods of Atlanta. And I'm talking to my family or friends, and they're having conversations about certain things. They might have a question that deals with something deep, or I might just interject about something to give clarity, and it will come out of nowhere. And then they're always looking at me like, man, you always too deep, bruh. But I always kind of kept it hood when I was in that life. I always kept it,
Right.
street life, but I read a book before. And, but and clearly they didn't. So my cousin's husband, I love that man to death. My cousin's husband, Al, my nickname in the family is Mimi. So he married, he got this Middleton type of upper class thing because she always coming so deep, but she's really smart. She have all this intellectual
Right.
things coming, and but she's still hood. That's still Mimi. So we're gonna marry it together. So you got me, Middleton.
Oh my gosh, this is chaos magic before our very eyes. This is it. You did it with the name of your show. I love it. And you just wanted to you I mean you went public in 2014, but you wanted to start the show to for neo-spiritualists. What was your thought behind it? You just wanted to talk about your story, you wanted to share these practices. What's your goal with the podcast?
So it has come to my attention in these internet magical streets that there are a lot of con artists and scams out here who are teaching these people wrong, and there's a lot of people getting hurt, and it pisses me off. So my job with the Me Middleton show is to teach people the correct way, without regardless of what your spiritual path is. I'd like to, at least in the 101 phase or the beginning phase, to show you step by step how to do certain things, and certain things to think about, certain things to consider, certain things to keep away, certain things to do, or the don'ts and do's of the new ghetto spiritualist, as two of my episodes are called. There's certain things to consider, to vanquish a lot of the misconceptions of certain things and ways of thinking and practices, and how to identify scammers, people who
Yeah.
telling you that they're in the spiritual system and they're not, these different
What's one
things.
of
So
the
there's a lot
biggest
of people.
ones today? We got for people listening, just so we can know, what's one of the big telltale signs that someone is absolutely scamming you?
First of all, we don't come, I'm not gonna come in your inbox. What I look like? You come to me for help. I'm not gonna come to you and be like, "Oh, your
Right.
ancestors came to me. Peace and blessings to you, my brother. May the
Yes.
ancestors shine down upon you." But your ancestors come to me and tell me that you are in trouble and you need my help. And if you don't act fast, that you will be cursed and you will be punished and you'll be this, and all kind of chaos is coming your way. But act now and pay me $1,000. I'll be able to help you. If you
Yes.
don't kiss all portions of my ass, I can't tell you how much that pisses me off
I had
when
that happen to
somebody.
me. I've had it happen. In New
Ooh.
York, these tarot readers, they're terrible. They do that stuff to you. They say pay $350 to clear yourself for this love block that you have. I mean, it's crazy. Oh, are you feeling this right now? Do you feel the love block? Oh no.
No, it just really it really gets up under my skin. It really grinds my gears when I hear that, because it hurts a lot of people. It really does hurt a lot of
Yeah.
people, and they don't care. They just want your money. And then they go on about their business, and you're out of money. And then it scares the person who realizes they got scammed. They don't know if that person is a true practitioner. And if they are a true practitioner, oh no, they got my personal information. They can curse me
Yeah.
if I don't do what they say. And nine
Right.
times out of 10, they don't. For example, and unfortunately, in the tradition of Ifa, you got people who think they Babalawos going to your inbox talking about they want to give you a reading and this, that, and the other will happen to you. There are people who giving bukus of money out to these people, and they're asking for information like your name, your birthday, your mom's first and last name, because they need to
Yeah.
know about your mitochondria ancestry. And
Right,
then you
right.
give them this private information, and then they come and tell you need to give some more money, or you don't have any more money. What if you don't give me any more money? Then there's a curse on you, and then you freaking out. Nine times out of 10, they don't even practice Ifa. Nine times out of 10, they might be a Christian or a Muslim, or not even in a religion at all, because Christianity and Mohammedism is prevalent in Nigeria as well. They probably
Right.
don't know nothing about Ifa and the ways of that tradition, but just scaring you to death.
Yeah. No, I mean it sounds I really again it's something I've said since the beginning of this podcast. I believe that there are people who are out there even in well they're doctors that are scammers. I mean they're
Ooh, you better
they
talk about it.
now that's a whole other thing. Well, I mean, politically we could get into all that, but I mean actual, there are chiropractors that'll rip you off. There are dentists that'll I mean, so the idea that it couldn't happen in spirituality because it's of this higher conscious or something like that, it's complete crap. People get ripped off all the time. And I think it's very important to bring up those distinctions because Otherwise, it's just, I mean, yes, you're absolutely right. People's lives are ruined. Now, to go on a positive note, though. So, first of all, everybody, you have to listen to the Me Middleton show. And you're also interviewing some really interesting people, too. People, I'm going, hey, we're going to have to talk after Evina, because I want some of these people on. Yeah, no, it's a very cool guests, chaos magicians, people in a hermetic background. I mean, you're tapping into some interesting stuff and sharing perspectives, which is cool. But the other thing is, in addition to getting readings with you, you lead these workshops, virtual workshops, which you have Let's Discover Your Gifts, which you discover your spiritual gifts. Let me ask about that first. So you have this gift, obviously, and you said you had this awakening moment with the reading, you saw this stuff. What is your belief on everyone's ability to be able to read people or see things that aren't commonly seen?
We're all, if you're a natural human being, now if you're unnatural, I don't know how to speak for that. But if you are a natural human being, I believe everybody has an ability, even those who are noted as like narcissists or apathetic, people who
Right.
are against being an empath. I don't know why I'm getting tongue tied.
Apathetic, I get, or I don't even
Thank
know.
you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Apathetic. I saw the word in my head and can't even say it. But those who illustrate the inability to show feelings, they really do have that within them. And some of them even seemingly like medical, like there's a behavioral health disorder that the people like to clock, like those who are psychotic or people who have all these other different mental or behavioral disabilities. I personally believe that everybody still has an ability to feel on a level. But it is different levels for different people. Just like everybody can sing, but everybody can't sound like Beyonce.
Right.
You know, there are people who can't carry a note, but let them go in that bathroom in that shower and let them feel good and start wailing. You can't tell them nothing. They'll sing, but they just don't sound good. So on some
Yes.
type of level, you have people who have these abilities, and it's not so streamlined like you can just feel. In my research, and I'm sure there's more, I found 11 different types of empaths, right? And then it's not so much of empathy. There's so many other gifts, like the gift of speaking, and you're one of them. How many times am I going to tell you that, Greg? That you're one of the people who have a marvelous gift of speaking, being able to communicate with people and pull certain things out of them, and it can be a healing thing, or even revelations that come through your guest or whomever you're speaking with. There are people who have all of these various different gifts of music that is spiritually healing.
Yeah.
People who have, I mean, public speakers, that's a thing. People who might not have magical healing abilities, but they do have a healing ability on any kind of level. I could be able to point that out for you and show you which way or which healing path yours is, and show you how to maintain it, develop it, and make it stronger to maintain it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Very cool. That's happening January 10th. Though I imagine if you don't make that one, you're doing other things too. You also have this Get to Know Tarot workshop on the 24th of January through the 14th. And you were telling me before the show that people don't know that there's a people don't know the real tarot. What do you mean by that? What's the difference between how you teach tarot versus what you see most people practice?
Well, art is as art does, personally. It's the way you interpret certain things. So when people get their tarot cards and they want to go by memorizing a book, and that just came from westernized way of education, the way we have to sit and study and then take a test and pass whatever we just read, right? But that's not necessarily the thing. excuse me, in tarot. In tarot, you look at the art that's on the card, and even in Oracle cards, you look at the art that's on the card and you interpret it for yourself. That one card, I'm just picking a card, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, the Empress card, right? Mm. That one card could mean one thing for me in a certain position on a spread. And there are various tarot spreads. There's a 3-card spread, a 5-card spread, a Celtic cross spread. There's so many hundreds of different spreads. Depending on the position of where the card is on your spread, that one card could mean one thing different for me and mean something completely different for you. And it could be in reverse. It could be sideways. It could be over here to the left. It could be above. It could be wherever it is. So it depends on what the situation is for each person. And to be able to understand the art that's inside of these cards, to get the basics for each card on its upside and its dark side or the reverse side. A lot of people, when they study tarot, they weren't formally taught. They just self-taught, you know? Right. So they kind of go off of intuition. And I have had a few times where someone gave me a tarot reading and I'm looking at them like, what are you doing? First of all, ain't wrong. Everything you said in this whole reading was incorrect. Number two, that ain't what that card means. That's complete. Like, it's too left field, right? Right. The Empress card has everything to do with motherhood, the waters, the moon, has everything to do with intuition, everything that deals with woman and femininity. This woman was talking about something about my daddy or some other. I'm like, girl, sit down. So, or it was something that was too far from the card, right? So I was blessed to receive a formal education recently myself, and I thought it was a good idea, but the way I talk and the way I speak, people who can resonate with the way I teach, I want to be able to offer a formal education for the Get to Know Tarot, the 101 basics. I started off self-taught too, but then I got a formal education. I'm like, this is a thing, but people really resonate with the way I speak. So let's go. Let me show you. Let's get to know tarot.
Yes. No, I mean, that is, I appreciate you sharing your experience, and everybody has to check out the Me Middleton show, as well as if you want more information, and we're going to link to this, about the courses, about working with Amina. I mean, you also have this fascinating, the spiritual audit recorded interview on living magically, and you do these magical jam sessions, group coaching, spiritual accountability coaching, which is awesome. It's Help by Eve, NAH Evina.com. Help by Evina.com. You're on Instagram, you're on YouTube, Facebook. This has been such an interesting discussion. And, you know, look, I would love, maybe one day we'll do an interview with you and your husband to see where the things clash, where they come together, what you created next. I think that would be a very interesting conversation.
Ooh, I can't wait to talk about that. Ooh.
What do you think could happen? Is it going to get scary in here?
No, I think you will be very happy. I think you will learn a lot more, especially from him. He is a wonderful person. He's a great teacher. He certainly has taught me. And I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Well, look, now you definitely surprised me in this interview with your wealth of experience and knowledge about these complex spiritual traditions. Happy that you're helping beginners learn all this, like myself. Everybody check out the Me Middleton Show podcast. Thank you, Evina. Really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. It was an honor.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Evina, of the Me Middleton Show podcast. The Me Middleton Show podcast. There's the Me Middleton podcast. Look, the magical chaos is around us. That's why there was a chaotic energy around this episode. And to get back to my mom, that's why my room is always dirty. I'm a chaos magician. Duh. Please forgive me, everybody. Ronnie McGilvery, thanks for the theme music. Zero Boy, thanks for the pre-theme music. Have a great weekend, everyone.